This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This presentation was recorded at Teachers Conference 2022, held at Faith Builders from August 7 to 9.
Welcome, everyone. I am Arlene Burt, and I'm a first grade teacher. I see one of my students in here, which is nice. And one of the rewards of teaching for a long time is then you become colleagues with your former students, or you meet them at teachers' conferences. I have been teaching first grade for 35 years, all in the same classroom. One more year yet in there, till we move, Lord willing, to our new building. And I have a lot of many ideas here. I will say I did not recommend any books because I did not do research for this. I just kept thinking, okay, what do we do? And compiled a big list of things that I'd use in my classroom. And a lot of these can be adapted for, so don't think, oh, I don't teach first grade. A lot of these can work through any elementary class and even secondary, some of them, I'm sure. So I will have a lot of things to tell you and a lot of directions to give. So I was trying to think, well, I like to collect stories from my students, and they give me a lot of stories. And just the other day, I was ready to give directions about something, and there was some chatting, and one of the children, one who is quite vocal herself, said, "You need to be quiet and listen to Miss Burt's destructions." So I thought, so today I will give you a lot of destructions. I also wanted to say that I can't really give credit for these. I know like some of them I got from reading, some I got from other teachers. Some ideas I think are my own, but maybe they originally came from somebody else. So, yeah, sorry, I can't recognize who they all came from. Some of them are just from my experience, and I tell that to my students. I said, you know, this, I have this rule because I know. After 35 years, I know what happens when this or that. So we just have this rule now and we don't have to worry about it. So also thinking of using games and different review and practice activities, one thing that had come up when I was planning this, you know, when do you do this? Are there some, and there are some that you don't want to do this every day, this same thing, it would get boring. Or some of them are a little more lively. So if we're already lively, maybe we don't do one of those today. Or some are special, so we just save them and we do them once a month or whatever. Some of the times drill and practice happens every day in the same way, and maybe it is boring for me, but I think it's helpful. That can be helpful for the students. So on the handout it has, and if you didn't get one, they are by the door, through the subject areas, and then I just put some of the ideas. Try to leave some space so you can fill in. And at the end, we'll have some time if you want to say, well, how do you play this game? What did you mean by this? So make notes if you want to ask questions or have further comments or questions about it. So with reading, a big thing for reading is doing vocabulary games, practicing those vocabulary words. And sometimes it's just reading flashcards, but sometimes it is playing a game. It may be having the students line up in two lines and check and see who's at the front of each line, and then flash a card. Whoever reads it first goes to the end of their line. Next person moves up, and then now whoever's still first reads the word, they go to the end of their line. Which team gets their first person back here first? And I try to say, whoever lost that round is, oh, now you get to try again with somebody else. And I only do it three times. If they have lost three times, I either quickly decide, well, that was almost a tie, so you both go to the end. Or I say, well, you had a good try, so you can go ahead and go to the end. Because I don't want to make them keep losing, and then their team is like, well, get the word. Or it may be having the two teams, and whoever wins, the other person goes with them and joins their line. And then when you're ready to stop playing 5 minutes or whatever, whichever team has the longest line wins. That one I don't do too often because I want to be careful of their, you know, here there's only two people left on my team, but maybe they had brought some people over there. But so some caution on some of those, but it can be a fun way to practice. Another idea is a game called Four Words, and that is here on your list, and we are going to play it. So post some words. When I did this the other day, I put up 16 of our vocabulary words. And each person, and I would give my students a piece of paper, and we fold it in half. So now we have four sections. We'll play four rounds of the game with my class, although we did two the other day because it took a long time. And everybody choose four words from the words that I have posted and writes them in their first section of their paper. So go ahead and, if you have a writing utensil, maybe on the back of your paper, choose four words and write them on your paper. And some children will soon figure out which are the shortest words, and they pick those out. Of course, with first grade, this part takes quite a while, but I think you're really fast, so. When I point to a word, you cross it off if you have it on your paper. When you get all four of your words crossed off, you say, four words, and you won. And then you read the words that you have, so I can see if I actually pointed to them.
I have school, everybody, Ben, and friend.
Very good. So then you would get to point the next round. Then I would say, okay, go to the next section of your paper, write four words again. You can put same ones or different ones, and then she would get to come up here. She doesn't have to write them, and she gets to point then the next time. And so on. Around the world is another one. I'm guessing you probably know how to do that. But you can do that with vocabulary words. And I know a lot of times around the world goes clear around the whole classroom. And I have made it that you win when you win five times. So if you read first to five people, then you won. Then you sit down in the next chair and that person gets up and continues. That way it's not just a show of one person maybe going for a long time. Also, practice of reading. They may read to parent volunteers. I have a notebook. Each child has a page in there, and when the parents come in to volunteer, they'll sit one-on-one with the children, listen to them read. They write the date and the title of the story or book that the child read and a comment on how they did. And then it comes around, you know, maybe next month, it's that child's turn again. We go till maybe five get done in one day, however, till everybody has had a turn, and then we start over. And it's nice to then look back and say, okay, so here in September, they needed lots of help. Now in November, they're not needing nearly as much help, but it's a record of their practice of their reading. They may read with a classmate. They may read to my aide. They may read to a stuffed animal. Whatever makes it fun to read. They like to go under my desk, sit on my chair, which sometimes I let them they sit on their desk or under their desk or lay under their desk. I see I have some things there again. Just practicing and getting that reading in there. Snatch the whatever. This one came with when we had a story about a dog, and so the vocabulary words were written on dog bones. And then we practiced them just as like flashcards, but it was more fun having it be a bone. And then for the game, I just spread the bones out on my table and had
It could be two children, it could be several children around the table. And then the teacher says, snatch the son. And whoever gets it first wins. And just read through all the words and snatch the, and it could be whatever. You could have them on a different shape. It could just be snatch the word if you just have regular flashcards. Run to, so for that one, I put words around, I taped them on the walls, spaced out, but around the room. And then I give an action first, so maybe start with run. Run to Ben. And so either, depending on the size of your class, when I had 30 in my class, we did not all do this at the same time. Then it was, okay, it's your turn. Run to Ben. And then they look around. Okay, where's that word? And then they run to and touch the word. And I give, and then I switch up actions. Crawl to, and I usually only have boys crawl. Crawl to pull. And then they crawl to pull. Jump, hop, stomp, march, whatever actions you want to do. And have them going to different words around the room. And a lot of times I'll say, run, school. Because if I say run to school, they're out of their seat before they even really know what the word is. So they have to wait. I pause in between the words. You can also do, I found this at a yard sale, and I tell my students, I have never used this for flies, so it's okay to use for this. This we do sometimes with the words on the board or on the table. SWAT, everybody. SWAT, full. And they can take turns, or if you have two, you can see who can get it first, every. And you can do it with your hands too. And then you can call it slap or smack, whatever. If it's on a table, same idea. Smack this, SWAT. And it could be just one person finding the words or a competition, teams, however you want to set that up. For spelling, I have for each day of the week the plan. So for Mondays, we introduce the words, and our words are in word families. So what family is this? I write them on the board. And then we have actions. So we just had the word tap not too long ago. So then we tap, we say the word tap, T-A-P, tap. Or what, if I can think of something that goes with the word, we make it go with. But then sometimes I put the children in little groups. You think of the action. So what action could we do for this? And some words there's not really an action. Maybe you just clap along with it. But we say the word, do the action as we spell it, and say the word again. And if they did it in little groups and they come up in front, teach the class your action, and then we all do it together. Tuesdays, we do our workbook page. Wednesdays, they each have a document, a word document, and they type their spelling words. And sometimes I think, well, is this really worthwhile? But they really have to think about how to spell the word because they don't know the keyboard. So, okay, T, A. So they really are thinking about the letters. And then we save it, and each week they add onto their list of spelling words. Thursdays, we do our other workbook page, and then we play some kind of a spelling game. And Fridays is the test. So actions went along with that. Spelling centers, I have a list, and I have extra copies in the back. So at the end, if you would like a spelling center list, you can pick one up. And sometimes on Thursdays, we do this to practice our words. So I would provide them a paper with their spelling words. And then this list has 15 or so ideas of ways to practice your spelling words. And then they can choose which they, I don't give them all. For first grade, I wouldn't give this whole entire list. It's too big. But then they choose, okay, what do I want to do to practice my words? And then they'll go around to wherever I have all the things set out in the room and do them. It may be paint your words with watercolors, stencils, and you do your words with stencils. And maybe you just do three of them with stencils, and then you stamp three of them. And then you make words with magnet letters. And then you spell the words on the flannel board. These are all on this list. Rainbow write the words, and that is when you write the word, and then you take like red and you go around the letters, and then orange and then yellow or whatever colors you want. It's just using different colors over that same word. Write your words on a whiteboard, make up sentences with your words in them, put them in alphabetical order, write with white crayon on black paper, color chalk on black paper, get with a buddy and spell your words. This one's kind of messy, but it's fun. Write, like on an index card, write your word kind of big and then go over it with Elmer's glue and then let that dry and then you can feel your word. Spell with letter cards, write them with markers, make them with Play-Doh, write them on a big paper. I have foam letters, we might make them in foam letters. Write a story using your spelling words. So different ways to practice the words there. We might spell them in a loud voice, soft voice, in a grouchy voice. Just doing different ways to do that. Sometimes we illustrate the words. The other day we did, and this was fun, special illustration. So one word was sand. So we made it, lots of tapping in the room, so that it looked like sand when we wrote it. And hill was going up the hill, so H-I-L-L, up the hill. Fill filled up the box. So it was a fun way to do. Band was another word. So we drew a musical instrument, and then the B-A-N-D was the notes coming out of the instrument. Stamping in Play-Doh is also fun. You flatten out the Play-Doh and then take your stamps and push them into the Play-Doh and make your words that way. And I thought it might mess up the stamps, but it really didn't. Shaving cream, squirt out some shaving cream on the desk, spread it out till it's a nice white surface, and then write your words in the shaving cream. And the bonus is you also clean the desk. Fill in missing letters. Unscramble words, do a word search. And some of those, they could make a word search. They could make scrambled words, and then their classmates could do them. For phonics, I didn't have a lot of things there because a lot of the phonics and reading goes together. But picture cards, I have a nice set of pictures starting with each letter of the alphabet. So I may post the vowels around the room, then I hand out pictures. You go to the vowel that's in your picture, or the digraph, if it's a digraph thing, or what it starts with, some ways to sort out and using the picture cards there. Oh, back on spelling. I forgot the noisemaker game. So for the noisemaker game, this is one that I do not do real often, but it is fun. So for the noisemaker game, we have noisemakers. That's why it's fun. And then make teams. I don't know if we can try it. So, and if you do not want to participate in any of these, that is fine. So here's a team, and here's your noisemaker. Then I would say the word, and your team works together. So whoever you're close to can be a team. Of course, with my students, I tell them their teams.
And your team works together to write your word down. And I usually use the whiteboards, the individual whiteboards. As soon as you have your word written and you all agree that it's correct, you make your rules. But, you know, if you have one child who is a leader and they're not spelling the word correctly, and really emphasize that teamwork. You all need to agree that it's correct before you make your noise. Whichever team makes their noise first, if they have their word spelled correctly, they get a point. If their word is not spelled correctly, all of the other teams get a point. So you want to make sure that you have it correct before you make your noise, or you'll be helping the other teams. You also don't want to talk too loudly about it, because then the other people might hear you. Okay? So we'll just do one round, and just so you can see how it goes. So let's take the word humility. Not a first grade word, but so humility. That is correct. So they would get the point. Had they spelled it wrong, everybody else would get the point. I guess I can take that one. And we click, we have 9 spelling words per list. So I usually do maybe all of them if it's going really well, or maybe 6 of them, depending how it goes.
That one can also be done as it's similar. It's called Quick Spell. And for that one I had letter cards. I just printed them up and they had only the letters that they would need for their spelling words, so they didn't have to sort through all the letters. And then they laid out the letter cards to spell the word with their team. And then when they had it, we didn't have the noisemakers, but it was the same idea. When they had it spelled, then we got it or whatever. And then same way of giving the points. And we really had a hard time with that because the one team kept doing theirs. All right, we got it. Sorry, you spelled it wrong. So the other teams got the points. Math. Then we have trying to get a lot of activity in there. So we call it our counting position, because every morning we would count to 100 or 50 to 100 or whatever, and they like to sit on their desk for counting position. So they sit facing the front with on their desk with their legs hanging down here, and we count. It just makes it be more fun, and we cheer when we get to 100. Mm-hmm. Or you could do that for flashcards or whatever. So, but my students call it counting position. A number of games, and I'll talk a little more later about some games for that. For math facts, it may be just flashing the cards, you say the answer. Or it may be some different things to give them some variety. So how fast can you say these and time it? And we're keeping a record right now for something else. Now we did our letters in 55 seconds the other day, letter name and sound. So that's our fastest so far. But you could do that with flashcards as well. Or it could be like this, and you may do these. Girls?
9.
Boys?
4.
Girls?
4.
Boys?
16.
People with missing teeth? Bus 1? Bus 2? 7-year-olds, 8-year-olds, I won't do ages in here. But just different things. It keeps them listening. You know, if it's just, we're just all going through, pretty soon I can zone out pretty easily. But if I, she just said my bus. I better be paying attention, or maybe it's, we can do this one. Oldest child in your family?
9.
Youngest child in your family? So, just things like that to do it. I'm going to skip merry-go-round for right now, and I want to come back to it, though. Songs, maybe singing the days of the week fits to the tune of Clementine. I'm not going to sing it for you, but Google it. five little monkeys jumping on the bed, one fell off and broke his head, is subtraction. There were 10 in the bed, and the little one said, roll over, roll over. So they all rolled over, and one fell out. There were 9 in the bed. Again, that's subtraction. Buzz is another game, and we will do that one. For Buzz, it can be various things. I do it with my students on the counting by tens. So you say, do you just count regularly, but if you have the number 10, 20, 30, 40, any of the tens, you don't say your number, you say Buzz. If you do say your number, you have to stand up. And it keeps going around. And then the next person would do what you missed. So we'll try it. We'll do it with counting by tens, but it could be counting by fives. It could be counting by twos, I guess, also, but I do it with my class with counting by tens. So you would say 1.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah. And then you would continue with 11. Yeah.
12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. Buzz.
30, or 31. Right. Okay. Very good. And if any, and depending on the students, sometimes I help them out. If it's somebody that's going to be devastated that they missed it or something, so that they don't have to. And then if you say you were going to 100, so we would keep, then we'd go around again. We'd continue, so 31, 32, 33, 39, Buzz. If somebody said 40, well, you stand up, the next person should say Buzz, and then 41, 42, and continuing on. So if something was missed, the next person should catch it. A recitation, sometimes it's just saying it. Right now we're doing the months, so we say January, February, March, April. But to spice that up, like for the days of the week, which we just were doing, we would say it loud, soft. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, to make it more interesting. Or sing it, make up a song, even a pattern. We might do loud, medium, soft, or loud, loud, soft, or high voice, low voice, squeaky voice, just different things to make it more fun. Handwriting, we get out our air pencil, so you can do that. Your air pencil is very big, you cannot see it, but you hold it up in the air, and I turn around so they see the right hand is the right hand, and otherwise they would get that mixed up. So if we start off with vertical strokes. So we're gonna put our air pencil way up in the air, and we'll come down, making a nice straight line, and then we'll make a medium sized line, and then we'll make a little line, and then we'll do it really fast, and then we'll do it really slow, and then I get bored and so I do it faster. And so we did our different strokes with our air pencil, and then when we're finished we put our air pencil away in its garage, so it's not still going. And sometimes we put noises with it too. I have 10 boys and 5 girls this year in my class, so we like noises. So motors are going and whatever. Sometimes if this can be with handwriting or other things too, but it's zip. So we zip down and then we start doing something. Super pencil. Do you remember this, Sierra? So this is Super Pencil. Just I found this pencil at a store and I added the eyes and the smile. And so it's, if you are writing really nice when I'm coming around looking at your book and you're writing really nice, then you get to use this pencil.
on your page. But you have to put an S at the top. So when I grade, I know that you had super pencil. You can't write really nice with super. And my this family has expanded. I now have a large pen, who is Mrs. Pen, and a little marker that's baby marker. So three people get to use these, and we take turns. Sometimes I have to search a little to find somebody. Like, yo, you didn't have a turn yet. Okay, well. Okay. So, another way to practice. For Bible, we made our own Bible storybook. I never got it real thick because I didn't do it every time, but I have some sample pages at the back also that you can get. It's just an illustration, so I put a box on. We write the title of the Bible story, draw a picture to go with it, and then write some sentences about that story. And I've gotten some really nice, thoughtful things, and then you can use that to review Bible stories. Bible memory is a big area to practice and work on. So we introduce the new Bible memory on Fridays now. And we make a video. So my students, can I do it? And so they take turns. They use my phone and just make a video, so it is not professional at all. A video of me saying the Bible memory with the motions that we have. So we recently did, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That was the first part. So I did the motions and said it, and they record it, and then I put it in a Google Photos album, share that link out with the parents. So they can use it at home, and the children are hearing the same voice that they hear all day. They have these same motions, they can practice with it at home. And the one year, I think she was in seventh grade, and she said, I practiced with you last night, because her sibling was in my class, so the whole family, I guess, was using the video. It may be small groups, and this I have my aide gather the children who need some extra help, and she'll just practice and go over the Bible memory with them. Echoing, for the wages of sin is death. And then put it together, for the wages of sin is death. Echo, and we go through and echo it. Motions, and I ask them to help think up the motions sometimes. Sometimes I just do it. But we also may just, clap. For the wages of sin is death. Or march around the room while we say it. Or stomp or jump so that we're moving. But caution there is, sometimes then the motions become the thing and not the verse. But then we have to think about that. You could make up a song with the words. And some of the Bible memory, like Sermon on the Mount, has several songs that go with it also. And I think I have back there, one year I asked parents of the students, some of them would like every week have 98% or 100%. So then what do you do at home to practice? And so I collected these ideas from the parents, and that is in a note back on the table, or in the back also, that you can get. I like to project the whole passage, especially at first, talk about what it means, and then we may go through and highlight some things. We may connect it to our reading or our phonics. Okay, look, we just talked about IGH. Here's light. So we can make some connections, and I think that helps them to remember it. Illustrate, fill in the words, leave some words missing and they fill it in. We may do like, I assume we probably all know John 3:16. So we would start off, so front row, you would start saying, for God so loved the world. And when I point to your row, you join in. You don't drop out though. So once you start saying it, you keep saying it. So front row, you start. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son,
that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
And we'll say it again, and this time when I point to your row, you drop out. So we're all saying it right now.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
So, and that could be done with other things besides Bible memory too. But. And then various areas I have here at the bottom, because some of these things you can do in different areas. And a lot of the things that I've said, you can do in more than one area. Like the reading games can go into math, or math things into reading, whatever. Window notes I have at the back also. And that is it's a window paper with four sections. And one is a feeling, one is a fact, an idea, and I forget the fourth one. But then that can go along with a story that they read or something else. And so I've used it a number of times with the story that we have about an old Model T car. So what's a feeling in this story? Well, father is embarrassed when his car won't go up the hill. Or you can think of your own feeling. How do you feel? Maybe you think this story is funny. And a fact from the story. And an idea. Do you have an idea here? Yeah, get a horse to pull your car. Or whatever the fourth thing is there. Games. A lot of familiar games can be made into practice and review, like basketball. So I have a little trash can that I don't use for trash, so it's clean. And I just set it up, put a piece of tape a little ways back on the floor, so that's your place to stand. And then it may be, so I show you a flashcard, you answer it correctly, you toss the ball and see if you can make a basket. Can you get it in the trash can? Or you read a word, if you read it correctly, or you spell a word. I like to do these with spelling too. You spell the word correctly, then you get to try to make a basket. If you don't spell it correctly or you miss your fact, you don't make the basket. But here you can get 2 points. You can get 1 point for answering your fact. You also get another point if you make a basket. And we do that with teams. Or baseball. Put up some chairs around the room for your bases. I'm the pitcher, so I will give you a spelling word. One team is up. I'll give you a spelling word. If you spell it correctly, you go to first base. And the next person, then you move to second base. You get back up here. You put up a point for a home run. Or if you have different, if it's spelling words, I might say, do you want one base or two base? And then I give them a harder word if they want two. Or if I have really hard words, do you want a home run? You think about what you can spell, because if you miss it, that's an out. And we don't have anybody in the outfield. The others just listen till they're up. You get 3 outs on your team, and then the other team is up. And yeah, tic-tac-toe. Put up a tic-tac-toe grid. And then you spell the word, you spell it correctly, then you put up an X or an O, whichever your team is. And again, that could be spelling words, it could be reading flashcards, it could be math, it could be answering questions, if you want to do social studies or science in there too. Hangman, that's a good one to do with spelling words. Football, we also do a very version of football. And so I have a zero line here. I really don't know anything about football, but I have a zero line here and then 10, 20, 30, 40, however far I want to go. 10, 20, 30, 40, and I put my goalpost at each end, and then I have a football on a magnet. And it starts at zero. So this one I usually do with spelling, but it could be anything. So here's
the football, so it's your turn. Your team is up. You spell the word. If you spell it correctly, it will move one line towards your goalpost. Still is on your team. We don't have any tackling. And next person spells it correctly, so now it goes to the next line towards your goal. And it will stay on your team as long as you're spelling it correctly. And if you get it to your goal, then your team gets a point. If you miss, it stays there. So maybe you got it clear to the 40-yard line, and then somebody missed it. It stays there, but now it goes to the other team. So don't feel too bad if you miss it, because look how far they have to go now. So now the other team has to spell words and move it towards their goalpost, which is clear down here. If you get a goal, then it comes back to the zero line, and the other team has a turn. So that's a fun one, too. And I'm sure you could probably come up with some kind of soccer way to do. I haven't done that one. But you could use some kind of a ball, a sponge ball, or this, or nothing too hard. And let's do math facts since they're right here. So you would say, okay, this is coming. Can I do it to you?
Sure.
Okay. Barbara, I'll say your name. Toss the ball. She says the answer. Now she will say somebody else's name.
Karina. Five.
And continue. We'll do a couple more yet.
Laura. Six.
Yeah. So.
Two.
Yeah. Very good.
What do you do if they take forever to decide who to throw it to?
You have 5 seconds.
Okay.
Thank you. This can also be done. You could have them stand in a circle and then toss it across the circle or just pass it around, too. Sticker review is another one. For sticker review, I just get a page of stickers and I ask questions. This one I usually do with math. And I may do flashcards, but I might do something else like, what time is it right now? What day of the week is today? Or whatever we've been working on. And if you know the answer, you raise your hand. Okay, I don't have stickers here, but so it'd work like this. So what time is it right now? Yeah, Laura?
2:28.
Very good. So Laura gets a sticker. And then I'll ask another question. And once you have a sticker, you don't raise your hand again. Then, and you go till everybody has a sticker. Again, I have voices on here. Soft, loud. Maybe it is, say this in a growly voice. Say this in a baby voice. Answer this one in an old voice. Or a sad voice, or a happy voice, an excited voice, or a grouchy voice. Actions, maybe you march, you stomp, hop, clap, tap, click. And also, kind of along with this, if somebody's doing something, we may say, if you agree with them, tap here, tap, or one big clap. And making game boards is another. Just sometimes I just get a poster board and I just draw a double line, block it off into sections, pull out some buttons or game markers, and you read the flashcard, you read it correctly, roll the dice, move along 4 spaces or whatever you got. That can go with many topics there. And you can make, of course, fancier game boards too, but or that can also be on the board. I'll just draw, you know, double line, one for each team. And then I have some magnetic things and they just move them. So you answer this flashcard, you move it, the bear, up to the next space. See which team can get across first, across your board there. That can be reading, spelling, facts. And like I said, a lot of them can go with different areas. Okay. Then I want to go back to the merry-go-round. This is in math, but it could be other things. And I know we don't have a lot of space here, but I think we can do it. So, goldfish. Oh, and I wanted to also note that Dollar Tree is a great place to get all these little... I didn't get that pencil from Dollar Tree, but I did get my big pen from Dollar Tree. So just walk around and find all kinds of little junky things, but the students think they're great. So for merry-go-round, you need to be in a circle. So if we could make a circle starting right here. So somebody needs to jump up and run up here real fast to be first in the circle. So now everybody can come and line up behind Karina. And if you don't want to play, feel free to just stay at your seat. That's fine, too. But then you won't get any goldfish. So when you are up here, I will show you a fact card, and you say the answer. If you are correct, you may take one goldfish, and then you go on to the end of the line. And then it's like a merry-go-round. You just keep going around.
Eight. What happens if they get a wrong one?
If they get it wrong, I usually help them get it. But if the same child is always getting them wrong, I might look ahead and find 0 plus 0 or something. So that then I guess we won't take it. So, and then we keep going. Maybe I usually do 5 or so rounds. So the merry-go-round keeps going around, and then each time you get a goldfish. And... yeah, if you still want a goldfish, you are certainly welcome to get one. So that's a lot of fun. You're doing your facts, but it's a fun way to get it done. So here, the last 10 minutes, I guess, we're to have for questions or comments, or maybe you thought of something while I was talking, thought, oh yeah, this is what I do for that. And I didn't address it, and maybe you would like to share that, your ideas. Also, like I said back there, there's 4 different papers. I think the Bible memory, parent letter, the window notes, spelling centers, and something else. Oh, and the Bible storybook page. Or if you just have a question like, how do you play this or that, or what did you mean by this? So feel free to ask questions or share your own ideas of how to practice and review. I try usually to have one who's more advanced with one that needs more help, mm-hmm. so they can help them. Sometimes...
Do they do it like... So if the more advanced kid is listening to the not as advanced one, do they like switch them and then not as advanced one would be listening to the... Like, could switch rules then and that could be a problem?
Yeah, good question. Usually it would be like we would be reading a story and I would say... You read one page, and then you read they take turns reading the pages, but then you help each other if you don't know the words. So, and maybe the more advanced one is doing a lot more helping than the other one is able to, but I think they still, or I'll say, or you can read it both at the same time and read it together. And then the advanced one can lead it a little more. Yeah. And another thing there, I just now thought of it, is some years we did buddy classes. So we got together with fourth grade, and then we had a matched up, a fourth grader with a first grader, and then they would read together. And that was fun too.
So how would you, or what one of the things you could share about, like, students working in small groups? Like, sometimes I know I've been in small groups and not older than first graders, but they tend to get distracted and are talking about everything except what they're supposed to be talking about. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, usually mine, I think, stay on task pretty well, but I try to be circulating all of the time. And I also do modeling ahead of time. I have my friend Mabel who comes in to model things. It's just me, but I have different glasses that I put on and stuff. And then I'm Mabel. And Mabel doesn't know things, so then they have to help her. So before we do anything with small groups, usually Mabel will visit. And there's still a little, they know it's me, but I think some of them still have a little bit of a... like intrigue there. Well, but you have the same dress on, but it's you. I said, well, no, it's my friend or my sister or whatever. Anyway, it's fun. But then Mabel, you know, she takes over, or she talks all the time, or she doesn't help at all. So then we talk about, you know, maybe one person leads out. And sometimes I will meet with some of the leaders and try to teach them how to lead out, but include everyone. And then, and we'll talk about, so we talk about working in a group. Everybody needs to help. You know, don't just take over here. Like poster, oh, I had posters on, I don't think I talked about that. But making posters also can be a practice and review. So we make these posters. So maybe you're drawing, maybe you're coloring, maybe you're writing the facts about fish. But everybody's involved and everybody helps. And yeah, I stop by and try to compliment or guide along. Okay, can you find a job for him to do? Can you turn around and help your group? Yeah, I don't know if that's very helpful, but yeah, modeling and it, teaching how to work in a group has helped.
Do you have thoughts on what to do with that one or two, like, ones that just love to be silly? Like, when you do the squeaky voice or the growly voice, then sometimes I just don't want to even play a game.
I know.
Because...
right.
Do you have thoughts on that? Or?
I try to. Yeah, they might get that teacher eye. And then if it continues too much, I'll say, do you need some help with this? Because we can practice, and I'll help you at break time or at recess time. And if it continues, then they stay in, or I go to them at break time, and we'll practice. Okay, well, let's go over this. So what does a squeaky voice sound like? And I'll do it with them and try to, yeah, cut that silly. Or maybe they just have to sit out and they can't even participate. And the same thing happens with, like, doing actions with the spelling word, where it'll end up, you know, they're only stomping and they're not saying the word, which is the main part of it. So you need to say it and spell the word, or I'll help you practice, and then we'll go over it later together. C-L-A-P, you need to say it also. Well, thank you for coming, and feel free to help yourself to papers back there, or goldfish up here.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call us at 814-789-4769. Recordings from past events are also available at www.thedocforlearning.com.